All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. The offseason is officially over. We are back into the routine. I couldn't be more excited, and I know you couldn't be either. And it's here. We got a game this week, folks. Saturday night. I know it's preseason. We'll talk about the whole preseason dynamic on the show. But either way, it's just the rhythms of game week. There is a game Saturday night. Real uniforms, painted field, the scoreboard, officials, the whole nine yards. Even tickets being sold, although I wouldn't pay too much for them unless you're a season ticket holder and they force you to. Either way, it's great to be back here on the number one place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, for Bucks coverage, and that is JoeBucksFan.com. And even though it's a year-round thing, it doesn't even matter what time of year it is. Joe Bucks Fan always is just like a fire hose of information of and around the Buccaneers. But the Joes have been doing a great job covering camp as well. I went out there a couple of days last week, and of course they're going to have... I'm recording this on Wednesday night. By the time you hear this, it will have already happened, but they're going to have the joint practice with the Titans on Thursday morning ahead of the game on Saturday night. So, not looking for too much from the starters. We'll talk about it all on the show today, but from the sounds of it, there's going to be maybe one game which will feature prominently for the starters, and even by that, probably no more than a half. I don't think it'll be Saturday, but there's still lots to talk about and lots to get to, and it just feels good. August is always such an interesting month, because it's such a time of like burgeoning hope. Like nothing actually happens in August. Like we all talk about preseason and how much we don't like it. And oh my God, preseason sucks. Can we get through with this already? Blah, blah, blah. But have you ever felt bad in August? No, like I'm always in a really like positive forward moving mood in August. Not because of what happens in the month, but because of what's about to happen. College football doesn't really get going. Well, I guess the second to last day of the month is opening weekend, week one, not week zero. That's August 30th. And then you get into the NFL regular season, also beginning Labor Day weekend, which is in September. September is when it all really gets going. And August is kind of just, it's that ramp-up month. And this goes for school, too, if you're a parent or a kid. I don't know how many kids listen to this show. I know my kids are not terribly excited about school beginning. Meanwhile, I'm loving it. I'm like, yeah, let's get back in the routine. Let's get everything going. It's just been kind of a free-for-all over the summer. I'm ready for everything to settle in to those smooth game day rhythms. And so on today's show, or tonight, whenever the hell you just choose to listen to podcasts, we'll cover, you know, what's different about the Bucs, all the things that have happened since our last show. Look a little bit ahead to the Titans game on Saturday, which here's the thing with preseason, okay? I always say this whenever I hear somebody complain about it. I know we're all going to be bored after the first series. Like after what you just, the first series, maybe two, you just want to see football. You just want to see your team. Like they're going to be wearing the uniforms, the logos on the helmet. Like it looks like a real football game, which even camp doesn't quite get you all the way there. And then after a couple of series of that, especially if nobody really prominent is in there, then you're like, okay, I'm good. Like, I don't, you know, nobody's going to sit down except for like media members, I guess, like us and maybe a few diehards. Nobody's going to sit down and really like zero in on every play of a preseason game. Although there are going to be things to watch. And yet I challenge you to tell me, would you rather, like some people say, oh, just abolish the preseason. We don't need them. Or they used to be four games. Now there's three, even that's too many. Let's get it down to two or one. And I am one of those people who doesn't think the NFL needs to play more than 16 games. I would play two preseason games and 16 games. Point being, would you rather have this or nothing? It's, obviously, you'd have to rather have this, right? I mean, you can choose to not watch, or you can watch a half and turn it off or whatever. I'm going to go to the football game on Saturday. And when I do go, I'm going as a fan. I've been credentialed for training camp a couple times. I did not apply for a credential for Saturday. I will probably like be there as a fan in the stands. I'm not going to go do post-game sound unless the Joes ask me to. But my point is, I may leave early. I may not. I don't know. One thing I can tell you is that Raymond James Stadium is not going to be in the sweltering heat because it's a night game, which is pretty rare this season because the schedule of the eight home games has six at 1 p.m., then the one primetime game against the Falcons. And then aside from that, Everything's at 1 o'clock. So this is one of your few chances to get to Raymond James Stadium for an actual night game this year. And that in and of itself may be worth it. They've got the two preseason games at home with the Buffalo one in week three. Now, the thing about the Buffalo one, though, is rare, too. I don't know why they did this. They play the Bills in the regular season. It's very rare to play a preseason game against a team you play in the regular season. But since they do, I certainly doubt, and it's the third game anyway, I doubt they'll show much of anything. And the second one is on the road in Pittsburgh. And that's the one I think you'll probably see the most of the guys who we're used to seeing. So this might be your best chance to see anything worthwhile at home in the preseason. And like I said, I don't think Baker Mayfield's going to do very much, if anything. May not even dress. Todd Bowles was talking to Kay Adams today, who was at camp. She's the one that used to be on NFL Network, and now she's on FanDuel with her show Up and Adams. And she's kind of a pretty girl, right? So what happens with her, I'm not discrediting her, I'm just saying, coaches and players tend to talk to her a little more, and they give a little more to her than they would to just your regular schmuck members of the media. And so Todd Bowles seemed pretty open today, and all he said about Baker Mayfield's playing time was that he's going to play in one of the preseason games. He didn't specify which one. He just said one of. That was his actual quote. So like I said, I don't think it'll be as much with this one. Also, you're probably wondering, hey, Bobby, what about Teddy Bridgewater, right? Bucks just brought him in. He's a veteran, 32 years old, and he's now a member of the Buccaneers, at least for the time being. And a lot of people are already jumping all over the bandwagon saying, oh, he's definitely going to pass Trask on the depth chart. He's going to be number two. And maybe that'll happen. I don't know. It won't be this week. Trask is the guy who is still number two. And Todd Bowles actually referenced Bridgewater and said that he thinks it would be, and I'm quoting now, unfair to play Bridgewater too much in a game like this since he just got here, hasn't had a chance to do much on the offense. But he was out there at practice today. He's wearing number 16 for the Bucs. And it's a little bit intriguing. If you're watching closely at camp, Kyle Trask hasn't had a great camp. Again, I don't put too much stock into any of the little details. Like, you'll see some people really get into the weeds about practice reps and things like that. And I mean, not that it's not important how you practice, but I just don't think you can tell that much from a lot of it. But from people that have been around camp every day, Trask has not been awesome, let's say. That doesn't mean he's not going to be the number two. That doesn't mean Teddy Bridgewater is definitely going to pass him. We haven't seen Teddy Bridgewater do much of anything yet, and he hasn't started a game in the NFL since 2022. He seems like an old name, and yet, I mean, like I said, 32. And when you think about, like, Joe Flacco, who as of right now at least is going to start for the Browns until they think Shadur is ready, whenever that is, he's 40. He's 8 years older than Teddy Bridgewater. And of course, Tom Brady, who we saw here live and in person for a few years, was 44. And then you imagine Teddy Bridgewater seeming like he's past his prime or old at 32, and he's really not. I mean, not physically at least. 32 is, especially for quarterbacks nowadays, as late as they play and as long as they go. And I'm not saying it's going to be a total reclamation project or something, but he could. I'm going to stop short of predicting anything, but I could see him definitely moving forward here and progressing, or maybe he'll get cut after a couple of preseason games. I have no idea, but the Bucs really didn't have much beyond that. They've had, you know, a few other quarterbacks in camp. They've had some injuries to some of the bottom of the depth chart guys. So this is another guy who can go take some reps, and maybe he'll get some more action in Pittsburgh next week. But as for this week, wouldn't expect to see much from him. There are some connections for Bridgewater, which also helped. I mean, back in the original year he got drafted, which was 2014, he was here during the pre-draft process, which is not a big deal because these guys visit lots of teams. But the Bucs, they were like pretty interested in him from all the accounts, and it ended up being they were picking 38th that year. It was the first pick they had, and the Vikings traded up to pick 32 and ended up getting him in front of them. I'm not saying the Bucs would have picked him at 38, but there was at least some intrigue there. And so it didn't happen then. 2020 as a free agent when the Bucs were looking to make a move and replace Jameis Winston, there was some interest there then as well. Of course, when Tom Brady ended up making his interest known, everything else kind of stopped, and we all know how that went after that. But now here's another chance for him. Then Lavonte David is a good friend. He was a freshman. Or excuse me, Lavonte David was a senior when Teddy Bridgewater was a freshman in high school down in South Florida at the same school. Charlie Strong, who was his head coach at Louisville, is now the Bucs' defensive line coach. He spent some time with Randy Shannon as well, who's on the staff. So, I mean, it seems like a good fit. Let me just see where it goes from there. In the meantime, Trask is going to get a chance to really show he's still a guy that can be relied on in the event anything happens to Baker Mayfield, which, God, I hope it doesn't. We all hope. And we don't hope anything happens to anybody, obviously. But if it does, you know, the Bucs, I mean, your backup quarterback is one of those things that the guy could play absolutely no role in your season whatsoever, or he could be the most important guy on your team in one single breath. So you don't know, and you got to be prepared for it. That's one of the things to look for coming up on Saturday night. Just my impressions from camp, just being around it so far, I'll tell you this much. And everybody, every year, everybody's, oh, this guy's in great shape. This guy, quote unquote, looks good. Like the Joes always say, it's underwear football, baby. We can go shorts and t-shirts and helmets or spandex or whatever we want to do, and we can run routes, and everybody can look all nice and pretty and get spatted up and get the wristbands and the towels and their drip, as the kids say nowadays, or whatever you want to call it. And that's all well and good. That's not football. And even when you do go live, they go live a little bit in camp. Even then, you don't always know for sure. But with those caveats aside, I will go ahead and take the cheese and take the bait on a couple of guys. First of all, Amika Abuka. I don't know what he's going to end up being. None of us do. But I'll tell you what. You want to talk about, quote unquote, looks good? He looks good. Not only physically. I mean, he looks good physically. He's, you know, cut, you know, decent size. But he looks like a veteran. Like, I was watching the wide receivers do their routes, and I was watching them go through Indy and all that stuff. And he just didn't, you know, sometimes the rookies kind of look like, oh, they look a little bit, okay, they're kind of staying off to the side, or they're trying to maybe learn from the veterans. And I'm sure he's going to do that. But Abuka looked like one of the alpha dogs right off the bat. Again, this is all that word look. It's just a word. It doesn't mean anything. You didn't actually. All potential means is you haven't done it yet. But he's one guy that definitely does have that, yeah, this guy's going to be something, look to him. I hope I'm right about that. So I was really impressed watching him in drills, really impressed watching him run, you know, a few different ways. And I'm hoping that works out. Vita Vea is another one. Let me tell you about Vita Vea. And he's huge. Still huge, okay? But he looks like he's streamlined. Like, he looks like he's lost some of the dead weight without losing any of the important weight. Still huge, still strong, faster. Again, I know this is camp talk. Everybody says this. Every single 32 teams, every single one of them's got people covering it or fans following it that are saying this about their own guys. I get it. These are just my impressions from the few times I've been there in person. And Abuka and Vita Vea have stood out to me. As far as new additions, Haason Reddick hasn't really had, like, he's been kind of, I don't say a quiet cammy camp. Nobody, you know, it's camp, it's practice. But haven't heard his name called too much. Again, it was something like pass rush. You know, you have to see it live, and you have to see it against opponents and things like that. It's hard to say anything. But I'll say this about the pass rush. And looking at the, you know, the Bucs released their depth chart, and it's not meaningful in any way. The NFL makes them release depth charts because they want to give credence to the preseason and not make it seem like glorified practices, even though that's what it is. So they make teams put out depth charts and things like that. The Bucs put theirs out this week. They actually did put all of the injured players on there like normal. So, like, you'll see Tristan Wirfs is still listed as LT number one, even though right now, at least, it's Charlie Heck, who's been doing all right, according to, you know, Jason Light talked the other day a little bit about it, and others around the organization have been saying, no, he's looking good, especially after they let Justin School go, when they probably wouldn't have if they had known what was going to happen with Wirfs. But it seems like Heck has stepped in and done a fine job there at left tackle. Either way, Wirfs still listed. They still have Chris Godwin listed as the number one receiver, or at that receiver position. Abuka is listed behind him, but make no mistake, as of right now, this very moment, Mike Evans is one. Abuka is the number two guy. Jalen McMillan, the other starter. They list three receivers as ones. And so you look at the pass rush, and I said this all along, okay? I think the Bucs' offense is going to be fine. They were good last year. There's no reason to think they won't be good again. They were even good when they didn't have Godwin, even though that was a loss. And now they have Abuka to pick up the slack until Godwin's back. If Godwin ever gets back to normal, which who knows if he will. We're hoping Mike Evans will still be Mike Evans. Bucky Irving, Rashad White, the backfield's cool. K-Dotton hasn't been doing anything in camp, but he should be cool. Although Payne Durham's been getting a lot more reps and look good doing it. Point being, offense should be fine. Secondary, okay? Jamel Dean, who's injury prone, has had issues there. Well, he's healthy now, and when he's healthy, he's good, and he's been having a very good camp. Zion McCollum, the other corner, but they've got these two kids they drafted, Benjamin Morrison and Jacob Parrish, and they're both listed as the twos for corner. Although Morrison's been nursing a little bit of a thing. He had a little injury. He's been on the sideline. I don't think it's a big deal. They've improved its safety. You know, first of all, I think Tyke Smith is going to have a big year. I think he's really ready to come into his own. I like the improvement he was showing, and now he's full-time at safety beside Antoine Winfield, who we hope, I don't want to say bounces back because he wasn't terrible, but didn't play to the level we had been used to seeing him play in prior seasons last year. But between Winfield, Tyke Smith, Izian, you know, I think they're solid at nickel. I think they're solid at safety. I think they're solid at corner. For now, you know, who knows what the injuries. Servacia Dennis was a huge loss last year. Even though he was a young guy and, you know, hadn't really done that much, the Bucks defense did really well for the couple of games he was in there, and then he got hurt, and they missed him badly as a linebacker who could cover somebody. He's back in there. Levante David, you know, again, assuming he'll still be himself. That won't be the case eventually. Is it this year? I hope not. So the reason I'm saying all of this is because I think the Bucks are pretty shored up, or as shored up as anybody. I mean, nobody's, you know, no team has just got it going at every single position. Everybody's got their strengths and weaknesses. I feel like the Bucks are pretty solid right now, top to bottom, except for the one question mark, which just happens to be, to me, the most important thing, certainly on the defense, and really one of the most important things on the roster besides the quarterback, okay? And I say it all the time. If you listen to my show before, you already know what I'm about to say. Pass rush. Pass rush, pass rush, MFers, pass rush, okay? That is where the bread gets buttered. That is the straw that stirs the drink. So, Vita Vea, you know, they're talking about the middle now, and these guys aren't strict pass rushers, but Kalijah Kancey's been wrecking shop. Vita Vea, I think, is going to have a good year. I think he looks good physically. Logan Hall, I think I love what they have up front. Those outside edge guys. We got Yahya and Haason Reddick. And even behind them, okay? Anthony Nelson's always been reliable. Not flashy, but very reliable. Makes plays. It's not like he gets in the game and you're like, oh my God, what happened to our pass rush? And Chris Braswell is another one Todd Bowles has been raving about. It's all speculation. This is all people saying things that anybody can say anything, okay? But that's where it's going to... If the Bucks get what they need from Haason Reddick and from Chris Braswell, because these guys are going to see reps too, and Yahya takes a step forward, and guys like Kancey and Vita and Logan Hall can get some push in the middle, Bucks are going to be a good football team. If they don't, and, you know, things will start happening, you know, there'll be injury. We know that's going to happen. Every team has that. You don't know who it's going to be. But if they don't get that pass rush, it'll eventually come out in the wash. Even if the corners are good, even if the safeties are good, even if Servacia Dennis does a great job coming back and steps into a bigger leadership role, and he's a great pass coverage linebacker, on and on. Even if all those guys do their jobs, if the pass rush isn't much improved from last year, the Bucks defense will struggle. And I know Todd Bowles is going to do some different things. You know, they've talked about, like, their issues, and, you know, they like to play zone, but it was a bit of a liability when you didn't have the personnel they needed to play zone, didn't have the pass rush they needed to play zone. They were getting picked apart. And I know some adjustments will be forthcoming and all that stuff. But either way, whatever scheme you want to say, whatever, whether it's cover two, whether it's 3-4, whether it's man, whether it's zone, whatever it is, it still comes down to pass rush. And so that's the thing I'm going to be watching the most closely. You're not really going to be able to tell much in the preseason, I don't think, either. You never really can with stuff like that. But to me, that's the only thing where I look at the roster, because I feel good about everything. I mean, I look at this offensive line, and we want Worf's back as soon as possible. Hopefully he's fine soon. But even without him, the Bucks have a pretty good line. Grant Barton's going to take a big step forward. I think Cody Mauch's going to take a big step forward. These guys are, you know, Barton especially, coming into his second year. He was getting better and better toward the end of the year. And I know there was a little bit of a mistake there with the snap in the game against Washington and, you know, all that stuff. But he really got better, and I think he'll continue to get better And, you know, Mauch's a seasoned veteran now. Gedeky's a seasoned veteran now. Bredesen did a good job. Line's going to be good. Bake, no problem. Like I said, offense is fine. Give me that pass rush, okay? That's the thing I'm going to be watching the most closely. Anytime anybody that is going to play any type of a role in it in the regular season is on the field, I'll be watching it. And certainly once the regular season starts, we'll be watching it. So our first chance to do that will be Saturday night with the Titans in town. It'll be Cam Ward's first live NFL action, the number one overall pick. And you assume that he'll get a lot of reps on Saturday night. I got a listener email here. This is in anticipation of the game Saturday and anticipation of my show because I hadn't done a show last week. But one of my listeners who knows I was getting ready to fire it up, this is Danny in South Tampa. Happened to be on the road today. Again, this is Wednesday. I'm recording. You're listening to this probably Thursday or Friday, maybe Saturday. So he says, Bobby, I need you to do a rant on your next show about the insanity of police escorts for professional teams. It's the Tennessee Titans, for God's sake, not the Pope. 10 TPD units blowing through downtown at 75 miles per hour so that offensive tackle Peter Skoronski can eat dinner on time in a Marriott conference room is completely unnecessary. Nobody cares about your 3-win team, and nobody is stopping you from getting to the hotel in normal traffic. This wasn't even during rush hour. And don't talk to me about security. If you're worried about security, then you wouldn't put Tennessee Titans in all capital letters on the sign at the front of the bus. Signed, Danny in South Tampa. So, I just got this a little while ago when I was getting ready to record the show. Police escorts are a funny thing. I've always wondered about that because I get it on game day. And if you've ever been around downtown, because the Bucs opponents, I mean, they can stay. There's no one set place, but the Hilton downtown on Tampa Street, I know teams have stayed there before. The Marriott Waterside and the other Marriott right across the street, or, you know, the signature, or JW, that's what it's called, the JW, right? A lot of teams stay at one of those three. And I have actually been downtown on Sunday mornings at like 9, 10 a.m. I live in South Tampa, but I take the Selma Expressway a lot, and I get off, you know, to connect to, you know, I'm downtown just driving through sometimes. And I've seen the buses, and that's game day morning. I kind of get that because there's a large event scheduled for a certain time that's dependent, you know, a lot of people, thousands of people are coming. So I get you want to have the performers, if you will, in those events not be hindered by traffic. That makes sense to me. I don't mind that. An escort just to get from the airport to your hotel on the day before, a joint practice, mind you, not even a game, although even if it was a game, it's the day before. I think that's a little much, too. I'm going to say I agree with Danny and South Tampa on that one because, I mean, they're not above the law, right? I mean, again, you've got an event schedule. This isn't even an event. This is just getting from TIA over to downtown, and it was like at least 7 p.m. when he sent me that. So anyway, the Titans are in town, and the joint practices are always fun. It'll be a little later. Usually they practice at 8:30, but with the joint practice thing, they're going at 10 a.m. on Thursday morning. Like I said, by the time you hear this, it may have already happened. But the next thing to happen will be Saturday night, 7:30, Raymond James Stadium. The Titans visit the Bucs, preseason football action. And it's as good as things are going to get, at least for this weekend. But I'll tell you what, here's the way I'm thinking of it. Starting this weekend, there is football of some form or another, whether it be preseason or whatever, there is football of some form or another every single weekend until February of 2026, which is just a beautiful, beautiful thing. Even though it seems really far in the future, it's not. We all know how fast a football season goes by, but there's nothing like that feeling of anticipation, so I'm excited. And as far as any other news, there was a minor kerfluffle around the league earlier today about smelling salts being banned in the NFL, which I didn't even know. I mean, I don't know how many of you people have done a smelling salt once or twice in your life. I have not done many, but I've done a few being around football. And what they are, it's just a little like capsule and you crack it and it releases. It's like ammonia, basically. I mean, there's different kinds, I guess, but it's a real strong, like you put it anywhere near your nose and bam, I mean, it's sharp. Like it pierces your nostrils, wakes you up. And they're a big deal to a lot of guys. I mean, a lot of guys need them. You'll see lifters do them before, you know, heavy sets, a deadlift or squat or whatever, and football play. Levante David was talking about it today with Kay Adams, saying that he does one before every series. George Kittle was in a tizzy. Baker Mayfield talked about it too. All these guys rely on these things. So apparently they're being banned by the NFL. But clarification, they're not being totally banned. Teams are being banned from providing them to players. Players can still bring their own, or as Evan Klosky of Channel 10 suggested on Twitter, now, you know, the rookies around the league probably have a new job. They're going to have to make sure, kind of like the bullpen guy, the junior guy in the bullpen, the rookie always has to carry that little girl theme, like, you know, My Little Pony theme backpack with all the snacks out to the bullpen. Because on the dugout, they got everything, but they got to carry some out with the sunflower seeds and gum and Uncrustables and whatever else. So that'll be a job for the rookies, only it's not snacks, it's smelling salts. But some guys lean on that stuff, man. And I never played a position in football where I had to get myself to that point, luckily. But hey, maybe they're applicable in real life too. Maybe accountants need to do them before they go into the office, or you know, your dental hygienist or whoever. Maybe everybody should try it. But the league is trying to back it off on those, so I thought I would mention it on the show. One more thing, if you want to get a hold of me, email address is the same as it's always been, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. I forgot to mention at the top of the show, but I do have the fridge schedules back. I already typed it up for the year, so those of you who have done it before know what I'm talking about. But I make a nice big schedule. I type it out. I use color logos for all the Bucks opponents. It's got everything in detail, the games, the times. It denotes the primetime games, the whole thing. Because I like to have a, you know, I used to, when I was a kid, cut the schedule out from the paper and just put it up there. My grandmother taught me that. She always did that. And then as I got a little older, and now we have the ability to type things and print them out in color, you know, in 2025, that's still a big deal to me. So I just started typing them myself, and I can make it any format I wanted, right? So I've got it down to pretty much how I've always liked it. And every year I do this for the past few years, listeners can email me. So if you email me, I'll just email you the file. It's just a Microsoft Excel, like Word, not Excel, Word thing. And then you can just print it out. Color print recommended, and get your fridge schedule. So again, the email address is bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, @BobbyGameDay, Blue Sky @BobbyGameDay. It's all the same. I'm easy to get a hold of and easy to find if you have any comments, question, cushion, or discussion. But that's it for your opening free stretch of the 2025 season, preseason, week one. Saturday night, Titans at Bucks, 7:30. Maybe I'll see you there. If you see me there or recognize me by my voice, feel free to say hello. I love talking to everybody. And other than that, we'll be back next week. In the meantime, thanks to the Joes, joebucksfan.com, the single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, for hosting the show and letting me have the opportunity to be in front of all of you. I appreciate the platform. I'm always grateful for it. And there's nowhere else I'd rather be than joebucksfan.com, as long as they want to have me. And thanks to you for listening. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Have fun. Start getting everything tidied up and getting ready for the real season. You got a few more weeks to get chores done and things like that. But in the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.